IMDb gives the documentary an 8.3 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes tomato meter rates it at 92%. RogerEbert.com sums up the film as the holy shit doc of the year. The doc in question is The Grab. Its director is Gabriella Copperthwaite. Am I saying that correctly, Gabriella?
Just perfect. Yep.
Okay. So its director, again, is Gabriella Copperthwaite, and at a theater near you at Mountain Films 2023. This is Susan B. Brock of Telluride Inside and Out. Pleased to be speaking with Gabriella before she returns to Mountain Film 2023 with The Grab, the story of a team of investigative journalists from the Center for Investigative Reporting who uncover efforts to control the most vital resources on Earth. No, not oil, food and water. Gabriella, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So you hold both an undergraduate and a graduate degree in political science. How did poli-sci lead to a career making feature films and documentaries, also directing, editing, producing, and writing? Or did it? Please share a bit of your professional history.
Yeah, it's sort of connected. I graduated from my undergrad at Occidental, went back to Colorado, worked there for some years, and then thought I wanted to go to grad school, picked poli-sci because it's sort of what I majored in undergrad. And I just remember thinking I wanted to get the wheels turning and get smart about the world, and figured, okay, a graduate program will force you to do that. And so I went to USC, political science graduate school there. And then I went into kind of like an international conflict, how media covers international conflict. And I took a course to come at my dissertation from, in an interdisciplinary way. I sort of wanted to take courses from all over. And I took a course at the film school and a documentary course to kind of understand how media covers conflict and all this stuff. So I went in there, knew nothing about film, nothing about editing, nothing, had always loved film my entire life. But grew up in Denver, knew nothing about a film program, didn't know a single director. I loved theater, but just had no connection with film, didn't know contact with film. So went to the film school there and just took like one course and was just completely transformed by this crazy world of documentary film. Ended up helping them producing a documentary there for a couple weeks as part of that documentary course. Was like, this is insane. This is just what I've wanted to do my whole life. So I sort of kept teaching a little bit at the film at the poli-sci school, but really entered into an internship, I think, right around that time for a documentary production company. And, non-paid internship while I was pursuing a graduate degree, and was like, okay, I'm in love with this internship that's paying nothing, and I'm bringing people like sandwiches, but I'm in love with this. And so I ended up sort of foraying my entire life into that world. So yeah, I backed in via political science.
Okay. Thank you. Your second documentary, Blackfish, premiered at the 2013 Sundance Film Festival and also screened at Mountain Film. Blackfish has reached millions of viewers. I think the latest count I saw was about 100 million, making it one of the highest grossing documentaries of all time. How did you come upon the story of an orca at the SeaWorld theme park in Orlando, Florida, that orca who killed its trainer? And why make a film about such a dark and sad event?
Yeah, so I came about Blackfish in a very sort of, maybe not a conventional way, and that is that I didn't think to myself, oh, I'm going to make a documentary about these bad things happening at SeaWorld. I was interested in why on earth this tragic event could have happened. Like, it, to me, it was well covered for a minute that this trainer had been killed there. And I came about it through the question and through the curiosity of like how sad this is, but really just how could this have happened? Like, it seems like the media covered it and then it went away. And I was like, wait a second. Like, this trainer was killed. This is kind of this horrific event, but nobody's talking about why, you know, does this happen often? I thought orcas and humans got along and, you know, like we're like, I don't know, simpatico and SeaWorld's really safe, isn't it? You know, I had taken my kids there, didn't come at this from animal activism or really any previous knowledge. And so what I tell people who are, you know, interested in making documentary or like wondering how to choose what, you know, thing they should pursue, you know, in terms of a subject of a documentary, I say to them, and because it's what I said to myself at the point, is that just find a question. Just find a question that you have to answer or you can't sleep at night. And like, for me, that's how I came into it. It was kind of an open-ended mm-hmm. pursuit. And then, you know, it took a few months before I really understood the plight of the orcas at those parks and like what they go through. I came into it thinking like, why would a trainer want to swim with an apex predator? Like, sort of came at it through this kind of the trainer lens and then suddenly realized what was happening to the orcas. So it was an organic kind of way of coming about the narrative. But it all started with a question.
Okay. So now to the heart of the matter at hand, which is the grab. What's it all about? What drew you to this story? And why should the Mountain Film Tribe want to watch the film?
Well, the grab is with Blackfish. I felt like I sort of poked one dragon. That was SeaWorld. Mm-hmm. With a grab, I feel like it's 100 dragons. Mm-hmm. It took 6 years for us to make. I just, you know, as you said in the intro, I followed this investigative reporter and you know, some mm-hmm. other investigative reporters in pursuit of trying to understand what powerful entities are doing to grab up the last vital resources that are left on the planet out from underneath us, largely without us knowing it. To me, that was jarring. And the investigative reporters were all trying to understand where it's done, how it's done, why it's done. And it's just, you know, there's an insidious part of all of this, of course. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly pressing. And I feel like sort of not only just the Mountain Film world should, you know, or would be interested, but really everybody. This is, you know, a question of resources. It's a question of, you know, environmentalism in a lot of ways, but it's also a geopolitical question. It's, you know, power versus those without power, people with money versus people without a voice. It crosses so many of these issues that and it's incredibly pressing. I think that we need to know at a citizenry, not only that there is, you know, as we always hear, you know, we hear a lot about resource scarcity, we hear it a lot about water, about food, but try hearing about people grabbing what's left for themselves without us knowing it. And the idea that in the future, you know, we used to talk about OPEC, right? And this like small group of countries that kind of control the world's oil. Picture a food peck. Picture a food peck where a small group of countries control the world's food. Food's of grave interest to all of us. And so I do hope it finds a wide audience.
Could you be specific and define who is grabbing, what they're grabbing, and who is it? Who is doing the grab?
Well, I hope people see the movie so they can figure,
yes, of course,
so they can see for themselves. But it's countries, it's entire countries, it's corporations, it's Wall Street, and we get into the nitty-gritty about who within those worlds are doing it. And then, you know, one of the more jarring things that happened is that we do receive 20,000 emails that they're the author of these emails would probably not want us to have. They fall mm-hmm. into the laps of the team. And it kind of corroborates what we were thinking. about how shadowy this world is. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of expose that side of it, really mm-hmm. how it's happening. And that's, it's pretty shocking. So yeah, that's what I'll say without saying too much.
Okay. Please talk about the challenges and the fun of making the graph.
Oh, challenges were just many, many, many. The length, right, 6 years, is just an exhausting amount of time to be pursuing a story and getting hung up on. Anybody who's made documentaries, anybody who's made any kind of documentaries, knows that, you know, 80% of the time people just don't call you back or hang up on you once they realize you're investigating something and nobody wants to get in trouble. So if, you know, that is a difficult thing that we came up against of just like, please, please, please tell us what you know. And it's like, heck no, we're not saying a thing. And so there's that. There's also, you know, the challenges were many in that way of just trying to get the story. You know, running out of money, asking for more money, just because, again, it's a long time to be asking investors to believe in you.
Yeah.
In terms of the great parts, gosh, just getting that one person who tells you something and just having an aha moment is so worth it. It's just they're so few and far between, but they're so worth it when you have someone who talks to you and isn't afraid to tell you the truth. So there's those moments. There's also camaraderie with a small film crew, investigative reporters, and your, you know, shooter and your editor. Like, you're all a family for this mm-hmm. for this amount of time. And I think, you know, that is, you know, you make lifelong friendships when you're traveling the world together and detained in a certain country, which happened to us too. But anyway, when you go through this, I think you feel like you're in the trenches with people and you're going to do something. Hopefully you're going to do something that's going to make a difference.
And hopefully you have, which leads to my next question. One could argue the world divides between art for art's sake and art for the sake of social change. Clearly you chose the latter, Blackfish being a prime example. What changes did Blackfish bring about and what are your hopes for the grab?
Blackfish got we all got lucky. I think it struck a nerve at the right time. I think kids were interested in it. I showed it a lot in schools and things like that. So I think that was all these like youths and students and everyone was kind of galvanized by this issue. And that started affecting change. I think that, you know, also, yes, change happened because I think in some ways SeaWorld made a lot of mistakes by giving us a ton of press and by coming in the film, you know, this big David and Goliath fight was, I just kept thanking them, you know, for like, all right, you came at us again and, you know, we could have been ignored. We're a little documentary and you keep splashing us on the front page of things. So, got a lot of attention because of that. And it changed things. Yeah. So like there's no more breeding. The whales, the orcas that are in the tanks here in the United States are the last orcas that will be in captivity mm-hmm. ever. So there's that part. The shows, you know, are not like they used to be. They say the word orca. They're really, there's no Shamu. They call them by their names now. There's no like sort of trying to put the sheen of gloss and act like these are incredibly happy animals. Mm-hmm. That part of it's kind of done. They're trying to be more educational about it. Look, you know, it's still not a great place to go. It's, mm-hmm. you know, we shouldn't give our money to a place that keeps any animals like that, mm-hmm. you know, in captivity, any animals, period, in captivity. That's my personal opinion. But you know, we have long ways to go, but it did affect change in that way. The grab is more complicated. The changes that have to come about are systemic. They're legislative. There's policy changes that have to come. And there's also a ton of changes that we have to come at as individuals. Like we each have to kind of do life a little bit differently. And that's a tough thing, right? To get people to start thinking in the terms of like, you know, eating less meat, shopping at your local, you know, for local produce at your farmer's market. Like, you have no idea how those small things, like, could have such, could affect so much change across the globe. Like, it's so, we try to explain it and we try to talk about it in that way, but, like, you can do things as individuals. But then there's big, just as I said, it's a, you know, big systemic change that has to also happen. And so, you know, we're just hoping, we're hoping that all of the hornet's nests that we shook open, we're hoping that this could just be an amalgamation of change across a bunch of different areas, even if they're small changes.
Okay, I guess it will become clear. Your objectives will become clearer after we see the film here.
Definitely, definitely. We bake some of them in there. We bake some of them so you see a little bit of what, you know, what the problem really is and how we can maybe change it that way.
Okay. Now let's switch gears a little bit more to the general. You make feature films as well as documentaries, and you're renowned for both. Would you compare and contrast the challenges in the two different genres?
They're, in some ways they're so different that it's incredible. I mean, there's obvious things that are similar, but I would say challenges, I feel like feature films and narrative features, the highs are high, the lows are low. It's really histrionic in a weird way. You know, you get in there, you've got a script, you've got like, you just kind of like strap in, you work with your actors and you go, 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 for, you know, the 3 months that you're shooting for. And then you know, there are expectations, right? Like, you've got a script, so you're following this kind of thing. And, you know, I try to keep it as loose as possible, but still you've kind of got a mandate and you're delivering something in that way. And it's really nice because you've got bigger toys usually at your disposal. You know, working with actors is such a pleasure for me. And to be honest, working on feature films, feature narrative films, I don't usually make a lot of enemies while I'm making my narrative features. In documentary, I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, there's just more people that don't like me in the world. And so there's that challenge with documentary. But I will say documentary is like the slow burn. You know, it takes a longer time. You feel a little steadier in a weird way with your creative because you're growing something from the ground up. There's no script. You've got to be comfortable with not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. And so really not having a mandate, you know, is it's just a different feeling, you know, which is harder. You know, I don't know which breaks your heart more. I don't know. It depends on the day. And which gets you excited and gets you, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling elated more. I don't know. Like, it depends on the day, but, they are almost, you know, two parts of me, neither of which I feel like at this point I could live without very happily. So I'll, you know, hopefully to continue to do both if both worlds will have me.
And apparently both worlds are having you because you have a space station thriller coming up called ISS. Do you want to talk very briefly about that?
Sure. So it's a space station thriller, as you said. Three Americans, three Russians on the space station are confronted with a conundrum and have to go about it that way and have to figure out what to do. It's a dramatic thriller. I've got Ariana DeBose in it, Pilou Asbeck, who was in Game of Thrones. Ariana won, obviously, the Oscar for West Side Story. So it's exciting to work with this amazing cast that we filmed it during the pandemic on a stage with, 12 masks on each. You know, it was just like really, really arduous and not the most fun production. You could barely see each other, but it was intense and something that I'd never done before. And it will be in Tribeca this June.
Congratulations! Finally, Would you describe yourself as a director, or would you put woman before director? If yes, why?
You know, it's such a funny question. I mean, I will say that I think people will call me a female director. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, well, we're looking for a female director for this, or we're, you know, this was a female directed action film or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't really call myself that. I don't see myself as like a subcategory of directing. I think mm-hmm. I there's nothing specific to, you know, specifically, you know, like woman, you know, whatever gender rolled about any of the things that I've directed. And so there was a lot of action in my war movie, Megan Levy. There was a lot of, you know, space station thriller was very much a thriller and was dealing with things that, you know, were not from, you know, a dramatic or stereotypically, you know, female, quote unquote, film. And so I guess I don't consider myself anything but a director. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm just feel privileged to be doing the job. And if I happen to be, you know, one of some unicorns who are doing it, especially with the types of movies that we're doing, that women are doing more, you know, more action, more horror, more thriller, things that were relegated more to men before, then I'm just feeling really lucky, you know, just like I hope more women get to do this. I think there's something incredibly unique that, you know, a lot of different voices and different voices coming from different places bring to the genre. I think it just makes the genre more exciting. But I just, you know, I just get up in the morning and just go direct, you know, without thinking too much about who I am in this world.
Okay. Well, thank you very, very much. Again, this has been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with director Gabriella Coppersway. The film at Mountain Film will be The Grab. Don't miss it. And again, Gabriella, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, Susan. By the way, Denver native here. Enjoy Telluride. I love that state more than anything. So enjoy the film.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.